Morning, everybody. Today we have the second Sunday of Lent, of course, and we have a beautiful account of the Transfiguration. You know we get it every single year on the second Sunday of Lent. This year we're in year A, so we have Matthew, and the next year we'll hear from Mark, then the next we'll hear from Luke. They all tell the story of the Transfiguration. So does, by the way, in the second letter of St. Peter in the Bible, Peter talks about this experience, and he goes, I was there. I saw the Lord in all his splendor, in all his glory. I'm an eyewitness to what happened on that mountain. And it's just this incredible moment when, you know, until now, these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, they had seen what Jesus did. Like, they saw that him preaching the kingdom. They saw him driving out demons. They saw him healing people. They saw him even raising the dead. They saw what he did, but now they see him in all his glory, in all his splendor. And it's just the incredible, like, sight of this really, like, puts them on their knees, you know? I always feel like a big part of my role as priest is to get people on the mountain, you know, because, like, on the mountain, I pray to God, we all have had mountaintop experiences where we have been on the top of that mountain so close to Jesus that we feel even in the marrow of our bones the reality and the love of God. And that's why, like, praise the Lord for things like NCYC, our middle school. A bunch of them went yesterday to Holy Fire, the women's retreat last weekend at St. Meinrad, the men's E6 the weekend before. You know, like, all the retreats that we do, all these different things. Like, but primordially, those mountaintop experiences are the sacraments, you know? Like, making a good confession. You can walk out of a confession after a good confession. You're like, I'm a new person. I've been made into a new creation, you know, and pray God, like, every single holy hour, we're going up the mountain and we're gazing on the glory of God. And then, of course, every single time we come to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where we are just, like, entering into this majestic. We see his glorified, transfigured body at the moment of the consecration. It's the most amazing, wonderful thing to be a Catholic. And so, like, I always pray, like, gosh, let's get everybody on the mountain. We got to be on the mountain. We need those experiences, you know? And Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up there because he knew they needed it. Because what's about to happen at the end of Lent? Calvary. And here's the thing. Okay, I got to praying, like, what was it like when they got down from the mountain? And I was thinking, today is March 1st. It's the first of the month of St. Joseph, our holy patron. And I feel like Joseph, he sure had his mountaintop experiences with Jesus, but he lived the vast majority of his life how we live ours, hopefully, in quiet, faithful discipleship. That was his spirituality, and should be ours also. That when those mountaintop moments are over, and we go back down, that we live faithfully. St. Paul, there's the second reading today, I love this. Bear your share of the hardship for the sake of the gospel. There should be a stick-to-itiveness in us as faithful Catholics. Perseverance in the face of everything, that we keep going no matter what. But not just that we keep going with the fruits of those mountaintop moments, you know? Like, Joseph teaches us, I feel like, what it is to live in a way. Let me tell you, I had this story, or this day a couple weeks ago, and it was one of those days where you just feel so plugged into God. And I was seeing Jesus everywhere. I was seeing him at the kids at school mass, and then I went to the jail, and I was visiting this parishioner, and I just saw Jesus in him. in the most profound way. And then I went to the hospital and was anointing somebody, and I couldn't, because of all the different things on his head, I had to put my hands on his shoulders, and I was just looking in his eyes, and I'm like, Jesus, you're right here, you know? And when the apostles, Peter, James, and John, got down, they saw nothing but Jesus. I just was praying, like, Lord, make that be my life. That every day, that's how I'm going about it, that I see nothing but you, no one but you in every circumstance, you know? And we see Jesus in the measure that we are giving ourselves over to him. And I see him most clearly when I am loving him. And Joseph, James and John, Peter, they come down, they see nothing but Joseph the same way. He lived his life in quiet, faithful discipleship. But with that, the fruits of that encounter, those encounters that he had had. And this month is going to be a great month for us here at this parish, because I'm inviting y'all to pray the litany of St. Joseph. Maybe you got it on the way in. To pray this every day. Best if you could do it as a family. Or if you're a couple, do it as a couple. And then on the back, there's some prayers here too. One of them is a prayer to St. Joseph for our renovation. We'll have an update on that soon. But we just continue to pray that St. Joseph, who is the ultimate provider, right? In the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 41, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph, he will provide for you. The New Testament Joseph of the Holy Family, same way. Ite ad Yosef, go to Joseph, he provides. So we just pray that he will continue to provide everything that we need for this renovation to go on time, fully funded, exactly according to the divine will. That's this prayer. The next prayer on here, 1900 years old prayer. This prayer is over 1900 years old to St. Joseph. Pray it. It's so powerful. The last one is a prayer to St. Joseph the worker that would appeal very much to us who are hardworking individuals. St. Teresa of Avila, my favorite quote about St. Joseph, she said, "Never can I remember a time that I have asked St. Joseph for something that he has failed to grant." So we go to Joseph. This month, we're going to have opportunity after opportunity. Pray the litany. Pray these prayers daily. I'm going to be making daily videos on St. Joseph and different aspects of St. Joseph on our Flock Note and Facebook. We're going to do a novena to St. Joseph at 7 p.m. here, bilingual, every night leading up to our big celebration on March 28th, which will be a bilingual mass at 5 p.m., followed by a procession with the statue of St. Joseph and a beautiful pitch-in dinner afterwards. We're also going to have the table of St. Joseph next weekend, and details are in the bulletin and on Flock Note for that. If you could make something, it'd be great. We just want to reverence this whole month for our holy patron, St. Joseph, and invoke him in such a powerful way. People forget him, but we can't. And he teaches us what it's like to live that transfiguration grace even when those moments are before us, you know? And, last thing I want to tell you is that when we go to Mass, we know we go to Bethlehem because on this altar is not the symbol of Jesus, but Jesus himself, his body, blood, soul, and the house of bread, Bethlehem. We know when we come to Mass, we go to Calvary, where Jesus gives his body, blood, soul, and divinity for you and for me and for our salvation. We know we go to the resurrection, and every time we come to Mass, we receive the living Jesus, not the dead one. But we also come to the Mount of Transfiguration every single Mass. And on this altar, at the moment of consecration, just like Peter, James, and John, we're going to see the body of Jesus in all his glory, in all his splendor, raised up, bells ringing, candles lifted, fire in our souls for our Jesus. And when we go off this mountain that is this Mass, we just pray, Jesus, I just want to see you everywhere. I want to love you everywhere. And I want to live quiet, faithful discipleship in the example of our holy patron, Joseph. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.